following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
This is Stewie Griffin, and you're listening to IHNRadio.com.
This is a Forcecast Microcast. Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
And welcome to a special edition of The Forcecast, a microcast covering the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club Summer Social 2007. We're in Boardman, Ohio.
Beautiful Boardman, Ohio, at Boardman Park.
That's right.
Ironically.
And we are joined, as the promo stated, with two members of the Imperial Holonet Radio podcasting team, CJ and Bill.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks.
And so this is sort of a joint podcast. So I'm going to turn it over to CJ and just say whatever you want to say as an intro to your people. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Well, let's see. Welcome to a very special episode of IHN Radio with the Forcecast guys. I'm CJ.
I'm Bill. This is our first joint venture.
Yeah. Well, second, technically.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, we ran into these guys at...
Right. Okay.
C4. Yeah. Celebration 4.
But
show-wise, it's...
And this is our first one with Bill as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know.
Until we can get the whole crew together, it's always going to be the first time.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to have to work that out. No, Matt had to be in Cincinnati for the day, and Chris just kind of got stuck in Columbus.
So. Yeah, poor Chris. We heard the story, Chris. We wish you could be here, but...
Yes.
You know.
But we do have Pete.
Those ogres.
Yes.
Yeah,
well.
I didn't introduce you. I'm sorry. Usually I say, and my best buddy Pete.
I'm happy to be here.
This is weird. I haven't done a microcast in a long time.
I know.
Usually first time for us.
We only do MaxiCast.
I think my wife uses those.
Hey, all right.
And it begins.
Well, anyway, like I said, we are here to... kind of join the celebration for the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club at its 10th year. I regret to say I've lived in Star Wars. I feel like I've lived in Star Wars my whole life. I've lived in Ohio my whole life, been a fan my whole life, but I've, until now, have never been a member of a Star Wars fan club. Well, the official fan club, but not a local club.
Right.
And Chris and Bill, you guys have been members of Ozwalk for how long?
You've been for a
while. I've been around off and on since about 2003, actually.
Okay.
So,
and if you've been to more than one social, is this...
This is my fourth social.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Great.
And I've been a member since right after ROTS, and I think this is the third social.
It's Revenge of the Sith for you that are in Star Wars 201.
But yeah, it's...
A true collector.
Yeah, that's how we acronym everything. So,
right. No, that's cool.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, we've been to at least one everywhere so far, South, Central, and North. And
okay, so the different regions in the state.
Right, yeah. Every year it swaps.
So, okay.
You know, it's in North here this year, next year it'll be Cincinnati or the area.
Right.
And then Columbus or the area, then the next year.
And what's the kind of the main... purpose other than just sort of the fellowship and getting together with other collectors? I mean, what are some of the things that you look forward to most about getting together for these the summer social?
Deals. You can find a lot of cheaper stuff, you know, because everybody's looking to get rid of something, and you know, you're here, so nobody really wants to gouge everybody.
No pirates allowed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What about you, Bill?
The same thing, basically. Deals. I mean, you can't possibly find some of the prices that you'll find here anywhere else. So
people aren't really selling the items much for retail value unless it's an older item, maybe.
Right.
Right.
You know, if you can still get it on the shelf.
Right. It's usually lower. A lot of stuff that people have to get rid of, too, is lower because they just want to get rid of it. I know we brought stuff to sell, you know, at kind of a lower price just because we don't want it and we need to make room and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, same thing. I got like a Kotobukiya Boba Fett, which those things go, $100 usually for 35.
Wow.
So, I mean, you get some really good deals here. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's one of the codas of the club, actually, is to, you know, make sure that you sell everything for, you know, that's actual value. There's no kind of, like, up pricing here,
right?
You know, to be fair to the fellow fans and everything. So
yeah, you don't that's go buy an action figure off the pegs and sell it for like a Macquarie Boba Fett. You know?
So it's actually a violation of the club's rules.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay, scalping is a big no-no.
Right.
The club. So
right. Well, and if you're a member of a club like this, there's no need for scalping.
Exactly.
You, could, unless it's a really really tough to get item.
Right.
You know, like maybe even some of the Gentle Giant busts. But otherwise, you're going to be able to find somebody that can hook you up.
Absolutely. And a lot of people for things like those, like for the C4 exclusives, San Diego Comic-Con exclusives, we'll get together and say, hey, I don't want this. Does anybody else want it? I'll pay for it. You can pay me when I get back, and I'll pick it up for you.
Yeah, so that's great.
It's that camaraderie that...
So you guys would definitely advise collectors out there that aren't members of a club to try to find one in your area and join.
Absolutely.
Well, and I know that... It was always kind of an intimidation thing. What would you guys suggest? And I guess maybe we could even answer that question. But what would you guys suggest as far as just kind of indoctrinating yourself into the club? And you know, once you've joined, what's the best way do you guys feel to
start a podcast?
Well, beyond
it worked
that,
for us.
Just to kind of make sure that everybody's together. And,
well, it
and
is
that
intimidating.
You, kind of, you feel like to get included, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I mean, you know, when I joined up, it was like, I went to we went to the Rots premiere that we held.
Right.
They had at the Arena Grand in Columbus. They had a little, you know, Ozlock only, premiere of Rots type thing. And so we went to that, and you kind of got to see everybody and kind of start to indoctrinate yourself. But just go to the meetings, start talking to the people, find out what they're interested in, because a lot of people are interested in the same stuff you are, even if you wouldn't think they would be.
Right.
For me it's easy because I'm interested in everything. But, that's pretty much the thing is just find somebody who's interested in what you're interested in or, who wants to help and wants to make friends.
Right.
Because a lot of times, I know a lot of Star Wars friends or fans, my friend, myself included, we're alone. You've got nobody to talk to about it.
Yeah.
And everybody you tried to talk to about it, it's like, oh, you're a dork for knowing that. And you're like, well, really, I'm not. I know you guys have talked about the sports thing as well. Some people are so into sports, and it's like, it's the same thing for us. So it's really just, like I said, go to the meetings, start to meet the people, and go from there.
And like anything else, you get out of it what you put into it.
Exactly.
Right.
And, that's the thing that I've noticed is whether it's Celebration 4 or this event, Star Wars fans are very accepting of other fans.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily of your opinions.
Right.
Because, all Star Wars fans are opinionated, but they're accepting of you as a human being just trying to find somewhere to belong. So,
right.
That's very cool. So as I'm sitting here looking around, we got members of the 501st fully decked out in armor. There's raffle prizes or door prizes and quite a spread of potential items to be picked up from this table. So a lot of generous sponsors.
Donations, yeah.
Yeah, that donate these items. Very cool. Also, they've got... you can kind of display your collection. Is everything on display for sale, typically?
Usually, yes.
Okay, so it's not just like, wow, look at what I've got.
Right. There's the swap meet section, where that's where you put all the stuff you have for sale or trade or anything like that. Then there's also, we've got the customizing section this year, which is a return from last year, where just people that customize stuff display it so that people can look at everything and see what you've done over the course of the year.
Okay.
So, generally, everything else is pretty much for sale. I know we even got the Ozwalk store for the Ozwalk merchandise, the patches and posters and things.
And when we have the president and then Dustin and the founder on, I want to talk about some of that stuff because it's amazing how sophisticated it is.
Right.
The poster is a nice poster. It's not like something you got shot off at Kinko's or, or did it work on an 11 by 17. It's a big poster.
Right.
And
we just got an announcement.
I guess there was an announcement that was made that we're recording. So, but at any rate, I'm just—it's amazing. I mean, everything from the lanyards that were given at the door to the posters to the patches—it's just top notch. And
it's one of the perks of having a group like this, where you have all these people from different walks of life that are all connected by Star Wars. That, one person has a connection here, one person has a connection here. You can get stuff printed off cheaper or, one person may be a graphic designer.
That's great. I never thought of that, but that's right. That's absolutely right. So it's all these different talents and, I don't know what I could contribute. We could maybe have an orchestra.
Bad impressions. That's all I've got. You know?
Well, if anybody has an auto accident, they
can
come to you.
Yeah, I can dole out auto accident advice. That's
what not to say.
What a fantastic talent that is.
But, well, so, I mean, obviously you guys, in addition to being rabid collectors and veterans of Ozwalk, you also have your own podcast, Imperial right. Hollownet Radio. Yeah. It's been actually 1 week older than our show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how that show got started for you guys.
Okay.
Well, it kind of started with Bill in a roundabout way.
Okay.
Because he doesn't even know
it. To Bill.
He had been talking about Star Wars Action News to me for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really right. like the show. I like, you know, everything they talk about because we are collectors and, you know, that's what it's about. So I'd listened for a long time and started listening to other podcasts as well and just kind of was like, you know, a lot of this is stuff that it's, you know, we say this stuff. You know, we could do news and then have discussions and things like that. Because that's what we do with our time. You know, it was like, honestly, the cast was basically formed by the four of us that always get together and go to movie premieres and stuff. And we were like, why don't we just put a mic in our conversations and just record that? Because that's
you're doing it anyway, right?
Right.
Right.
It's, you know, let somebody else hear it. Let somebody else know that it's around. So about August, I think it was beginning of August last year. We actually were members of the Fan Force as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an all-Ohio picnic that nobody came to. So it was the All Columbus picnic. And so we were driving around and was like, hey, guys, why don't we do a podcast? You mm-hmm. know, and so they were like, okay, how are we going to do this? Well, let's go to Best Buy and pick up four USB headset mics
right.
for the PS2 and plug those in and see if they work. So
right.
that's what we did and figured out how to split it so we could record all four audio tracks and you know, basically started going from there.
That's one of those things. I mean, Pete and I look back at when we started and playing with all the equipment, and it was very frustrating at the time. But you look back, it's like, those are the good old days. That was, you know,
yeah.
It was when, you know, the expectations were a lot lower in your own mind.
Right.
It's like it's everything to do, you know, just to get it recordable,
right?
You
right.
know, let alone actually the content being something that's
right.
you know people want to listen to.
Yeah, well, I mean, right. we had our ups and downs. You know, we had one day where it was excruciatingly hot in Chris's, you know, room that we record in.
Your studio.
Yeah, yes.
Our studio. Your palatial studio.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, exactly. it was excruciatingly hot. And
yeah.
it was, you know, the air was on. It wasn't doing anything. We tried to turn the fan on. I think we scrapped the whole episode because you hear the...
Yeah. Oh, wow.
The whole time. And we couldn't open the door because you'd hear all the people outside playing and the cars and trucks driving up the street. And so, I mean, you know, it's kind of those stepping stones.
You learn.
Yeah.
Yes, you pay your dues along the way.
I mean, we're still learning. I'm sure you
right.
guys are
oh,
still
yeah.
learning.
Absolutely.
Like last week with the last four. I'm going to say this because we didn't get a chance. It's on the boards over at rebelscum.com. But we've had emails about the last 10 minutes of the show last week. And here's what happened. We have a new method of recording the show. The whole idea was to make it safer so we never lose a show. Well, guess what?
You lost the show.
We lost the last 10 minutes of the show. So we had to use, because we're using TalkShoe now, we were able to use the backup from TalkShoe, which
right.
is horrible sound quality. And so we're well aware. The emails can stop coming in. The message boards, you can stop. We know. It will never happen again.
Don't say never, my friend.
Yeah. That's
but yeah, you do. You get through those things.
Yeah. And I mean, we used to have a Machinima series, Galaxy Far Away,
mm-hmm.
very R-rated stuff, but it was Star Wars, you know. And that's where we started getting all the, you know, here's what we need to record stuff and here's how we need to edit it and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where starting back then and up through now, there's just those things that should be so easy to use. And you can't do it, you know.
Yeah,
Or it's going to take you 5 hours to do one little thing that you want to have done.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like you said, it's just you pay your dues, you get through there, you know what to do next time, and hopefully next time it sounds better.
Well, you guys are cruising in on your one-year anniversary.
Yeah.
You have anything special planned for your one year? Because we need some ideas.
Okay.
Ours is coming up really soon, and we've never really talked about it.
Well,
have we,
guys...
boss? Talking to Dustin over here.
You guys are kind of forerunners of us. We're going to do a live show next week.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
It's going to be, what is it, Sunday?
Yeah.
Or Saturday.
Yeah.
And we're going to sit down and do a live show So people can call in. And,
excellent.
You know, we've got a few fans out there. So.
Yeah, that's great. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
We did a live show.
We did a test last week to see, you know, get, you know, things. We just released the cast as normal, but we were like, all right, a couple people can pop on. We'll have a couple callers and see what they have to say and things like that.
I think that's the holy grail of podcasting. If you can combine the best of both worlds, worlds where if you want to do time shifted listening, but if you want to listen live and participate, I think that that's it. Well, while we have him here, he's a busy guy. He's already on his cell phone.
I was trying to change my ringtone to AC/DC Back in Black.
We've got fan club president Dustin Robertson, soon to be the next Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club president.
Yes,
Dustin
that is
Roberts.
Correct.
Is there anything that you're not going to be a president of if you have your way?
No, I am trying to take over the universe.
That's Pinky and the Brain all in one. There.
Yes. My plan is coming together.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about, Dustin, was that, I mean, for a club that's just, I don't know, I mean, I hate to use the term amateur, but I mean, you know, it's not like this is incorporated or anything. I mean, the materials that you guys have, your collateral materials, your posters, you know, your lanyards, everything is such of a professional nature. Is that unique amongst collectors clubs, Star Wars collectors clubs? I mean, are you guys, is Ohio kind of, you know,
well, I mean,
the leader in that sort of thing?
I would think so, because we've kind of set the precedents over the years as to, you know, how to run the thing. I mean, basically, D.C. groups based off Ohio, Kentucky groups based off Ohio, and Pennsylvania group was, you know, founded by Bill, who helped found the Ohio group. So, I mean, there's a lot of footprint out there that's spread out across all these groups. And, I mean, we started really going after, you know, a more professional feel after we started going to some of these other shows like Celebrations. You know, the badge idea came from that. I mean, you know, we can do our own badge set. Everybody's got a laminator, you know. So it's that, and we've got some very creative people in our community, and some who have access to a lot of nice high quality printers, obviously, as you can see here.
Yeah,
and we've got some and laminating machines. Yes, we've got some nice stuff hanging on the walls, but it's grown and it continues to grow, and I'm really happy with the crowd we've got here today. We're way up in Young's we're practically in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
what are they doing today?
I don't know. They should be here. Bill, come on, where's your guys? No, I mean, we've got a real good crew here, and you know, we're gonna have a fun day of Star Wars, I think. So far,
how long
so
have you been a member of Ozwalk?
I want to say I joined in 2000.
All right.
If I'm thinking, I was on early on in like 96, 97, but I dropped off the email list because back then I was on dial-up, and I was like, oh, 80 emails a day. I can't handle that. But I remember discussion of, you know, leading up to the Cincinnati Sci-Fi Show, and I believe that was in the winter of 97.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's how, and then a couple years later I got to talking to Chris online and, you know, was plugging the Ozwalk thing, and he's like, well, you're in Ohio, join. So that was the end of it, and I went to, I believe it was the 2000 Summer Social was my first meeting, and, you know, it's just snowballed from there.
Have you been president before?
No.
Of Ozwalk?
I've been regional director for the South region for two terms, so that's okay. 4 years total.
So we were talking to Chris and Bill about, you know, from their perspective, what it's like coming to one of these things, and what is it sort of when you're planning one of these?
Oh, it takes a lot of planning, believe me. Yeah. And everybody's got their own idea on how it should be run and everything like that, and it's always it's like a running joke. There's, you know, there's a small crew that it always has to have their hand in something, it seems like, in Ozwalk, and year in and year out, it's always a debate on who's got this done, who's got that ready, are we ready, and
how far
always,
back do you start it always for the summer together. Social?
Well, tomorrow we're going to start planning next year's. No, I'd say we started planning around December. I can't remember.
I know only the last year we started talking about it a year ahead of time, but you know everybody procrastinates. So.
Yeah, that's right. The thing. I mean, well, we got the facility. That's the main thing. We want to get a facility early enough so we're not scrambling last minute outside, you know, in a barbecue pit or something. But it used to be that, you know, it used to be a backyard event. But it's grown so much, and the club has grown so much that it's really like a mini 1 day convention. I mean.
It is.
I mean,
it
this is your guys' first time here. What do you think? I mean,
it is like a mini convention.
Booth. We got stuff for sale. We got exclusive items. We've got a raffle table. I mean, we got food.
I mean, I've been to some shopping mall comic conventions that, you know, this thing makes look, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this looks great.
I was at Horrifying Weekend down in Baltimore last week, and it didn't compare to this.
The guests are even better here. It's amazing.
They didn't have the official fan club president at Horrifying Weekends. would they have the Nova from Planet of the Apes?
Well, they had Ernie Hudson.
Then they
had a bunch of people that you've never heard of.
Like Nova from Planet
like
of
Nova
the Apes.
It actually could have been Nova
from Planet
of the Apes.
Am I the only one that saw the original?
I don't know. You know, but I mean, that seemed very much more... It just wasn't what this is, which is, you know, kind of just a lot more fun, a lot more just kind of...
Well, those people are terrifying.
Yeah, well, they are, you know, but it was fun, but it just doesn't compare to this. I'm back with my peeps. That's what it's all about.
Right.
I'm not wearing somebody else's underwear.
Yeah, well, we might be...
I can go find a chainsaw if I need to do that.
There's Target up the street. I think they have them.
Well, I noticed that as we were coming in. Pete's like, hey, there's a Toys R Us. Hey, there's a Target. It's like, is that a coincidence that that the Collectors Club is going to be?
One of the guys we were talking to.
That's like a prerequisite,
like,
isn't it? Yeah.
Did nobody think of saying there's a Target and a Toys R Us and it's right in the middle?
Yeah, really.
That would have been able to pinpoint the location in a lot of
people. I was like, oh, there it is. I know where it's at.
What is the membership these days? Do you know, roughly?
I want to say we're over 250. I know that. So
wow.
250, 260, somewhere around there, registered members online.
How many are you expecting today to cycle through?
Probably today, close to 100 is what I'm banking on.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus you've got spouses and kids running around here, too. And we've got some volunteers from the 501st out here. And
the food spread's amazing.
Yeah, we've got a decent spread this year, definitely.
A lot of great food. You got a cake. I love the look, the logo, so to speak, of the 10th anniversary.
Yeah, we like how you saw that poster.
Yeah, I saw it. Right. Yeah. Was there any... you know, kind of legal issues that you run into with running a club like this and having...
You know, I just wing it. Really, seriously. If anybody's got a problem with it, I'm sure they'll tell us.
Right.
But for the time being, it's we've got a mutual understanding with our friends at Lucasfilm.
Right.
And if there ever is an issue, I'm sure they would let me know.
Okay.
So that's how I stand on
it. Yeah, right. That's how we live week to week.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's better
ask for forgiveness,
ask
right?
Ask for forgiveness. Exactly.
I didn't know we couldn't do that.
Yeah. Oops.
Sorry.
Well, that's fantastic. So have you been to, any of you guys ever been to another state's kind of version of this?
No, I've never
been a member of another collector's club.
Have you been to Kentucky?
Yeah, I've been to both Kentucky and Pennsylvania's. Okay.
And you say they were sort of modeled after Ohio.
Yes.
And what was Ohio modeled after? Do you know?
You know,
was there
I'm
another
not sure.
one before?
We got to get Chris over here to talk about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we'd love to have Chris.
You know, he's
Chris Fawcett, who's the founding member.
Chris founded this thing, so maybe we should get him over here to talk.
Yeah.
Can we go grab
sure.
him?
Sure. Yeah, go
All
grab
right,
him.
Let me go get him.
Sure. All right, we're going to have Chris Fawcett. He's the founding member now. He doesn't live in Ohio anymore. He's in North Carolina.
Right.
So has he started one down there? We'll have to ask him when he comes in. See if he... Oh, we're going to get him over here. There we go. Here he comes. Chris. Hi, Chris. I'm Jason.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. Nice to meet you. This is Pete,
hey,
who
Pete.
Is micless right now, but that's
CJ.
And do you know these two guys? Or?
I don't think I've ever met him, unfortunately.
I think I've met
you maybe the first time I went to an Oswalk Social in Columbus.
Yeah, in Columbus.
Yeah.
It was a while back.
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
So, Chris, you're the founder of this
Yeah, apparently.
Group. Well, why do you say that apparently? I mean, you are, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was me and a friend of mine who is no longer really involved in collecting it all started it. It was like 12 years ago. Now, I know we're celebrating our 10th year's anniversary, but that's more as a statewide club. We started as a little local thing here in Northeast Ohio.
Uh-huh. No, oh, I like the sounds of that. Where specifically in Northeast Ohio?
The very first meeting was held in Cuyahoga Falls.
All right. Nice. All right.
Yes.
I
worked
there.
At a little clubhouse at a little apartment complex right by Chapel Hill.
And how many people?
That first meeting, we went around and... put flyers out at comic book shops, and we had no clue, you know, who would show up. We're like, it's going to be me and my friend Scott hanging out watching the movies at the clubhouse. But surprisingly, there was, I don't know, maybe 20 or 25 people showed up that very first time, and we were just floored at, you know, the sort of instant popularity of it. I mean, to have 25 people just from handing out a few flyers at maybe two or three comic book shops.
Uh-huh.
We thought was just really phenomenal.
And so to see it, I mean, what's it like to come back? Now you don't even live, you don't live in Ohio, right?
No, I moved to North Carolina, Charlotte, about 4 years ago.
You have a club there yet?
No, we've got. You know, I did that once, and I thought about it. I'm like, do I really want to do all this again? It was a lot of work. So
it'll be a lot easier the second time around, though, right? So you know what to do now.
We do have a very, very small email list there of just some local, mostly just the vintage guys, collectors that just attend shows together. But it's really nothing like any kind of formal club.
So what was the main idea behind starting something like this? Was it just to hang out, or was it to kind of help in your collecting?
Well, originally the idea came from Gus Lopez's club in Seattle.
Okay.
And I had gotten, you know, pretty involved in the online community back in, you know, the mid-90s, and had heard about his, and I thought, wow, this is a cool idea. You know, maybe we could get something going here. And so really, I think his club was the inspiration for the Ohio Club.
Okay. And then, of course, Dustin was saying that the Ohio Club has inspired Kentucky and Pennsylvania as well.
So. Yeah, the weird thing that happened, and I'm not sure why, the Seattle Club kind of stayed, and I think they did it on purpose, kind of stayed small and just local people in one city. For whatever reason, I'm still not sure, the Ohio Club sort of just exploded all over the state. And so it kind of surpassed what the Seattle Club was and still is today, at least in the scope of what the club is. And I think just the fact that we did that so successfully, people started recognizing Oswak, you know, more than some of the other clubs. So we really became sort of the prototypical collecting club, and that's what a lot of other states and areas have replicated off of our model, I guess.
Okay. What kind of a collector are you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 99.9% vintage and probably 90% in the prototype realm and rarities and that kind of thing.
Vintage rarities.
Vintage rarities.
Wow. All right. Yeah. What's your favorite piece?
My favorite piece is probably... That's really hard.
I know. It's like asking about your favorite kid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I would probably have to say I have, on all the Power of the Force vintage packaging, there's the logo, and in the middle of the logo is the saber holding, their hands holding the saber.
Right.
I have the original hand-drawn artwork of that little logo. So that's probably my favorite piece.
That's pretty cool.
It's a pretty cool piece, yeah.
How did you score that? Was it at a show, or did you know someone who knew someone?
That piece, I think, came from a dealer, but I think it came from Tom Derby originally.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites.
If you're into the prototypes and things like that, what's the best way to look for those or to find those?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask.
Other than going through the dumpsters in Cincinnati back in the day.
That's kind of most of my collection was
dumpster diving?
Not exactly dumpster diving, but I was heavily involved in contacting Kenner employees, former Kenner employees, and made lots and lots of trips to Cincinnati to visit people and bought a lot of collections out of former employees. So a large portion of my collection was purchased directly from these people. And the great thing about that for me is it's not just like, oh, well, here, I got this on eBay, or, oh, I bought this from a dealer. But, you know, to really have the stories. And I went there, and I sat down and talked to the sculptor who sculpted this piece. And I sat down and talked to the engineer. And to be able to take a piece of what he did, his creative input into the toy line, and to be able to have that in my collection and not just go, oh, look, this is cool, but... Oh, look, this is cool, but let me tell you the story about the guy that made this. And I just love that kind of depth of collecting.
Because it's more than just
something acquisition.
Piece. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And when you've talked to some of these sculptors, I mean, what's it? Do they have any idea of how many, you know, ideas and adventures that they've inspired just by sculpting this toy?
Well, it's... Some of them definitely do. I mean, that's a lot of the reason why a lot of them still had all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because they, at the time, they saw how, you know, huge Star Wars was. And, you know, quite a few of them, you know, put things in boxes and kept them in the attic for the next 20 years. And I think they had an inkling at the time of what it was they were working on. I don't think a lot of them didn't quite know how huge it was.
Uh-huh.
But they at least had some kind of clue about it. And so that's why a lot of this stuff got kept. Fortunately, you know, I'm glad it was, because there's a lot of really cool stuff that's... that's come out of Cincinnati and other places,
right?
Because these people were had the foresight enough to actually keep some things.
Was it? What is it about the vintage specifically that you're almost exclusive?
Oh, because I had it when I was a kid.
Okay, nice.
It's all about the nostalgia for me. Okay. I mean, and the you know, as you. And you would ask then, well, why prototypes then? Because you obviously didn't have prototypes when you were a kid. I wasn't sitting there playing with a hard copy or something, right?
Right, right, right.
So, but I mean, I think every collector sort of has stages they go through. And not that everybody goes through every single stage, but I started out, you know, collecting loose figures, and then I got into packaged toys, and then I got into expensive packaged toys. And for me, it was never about, oh, I want to, you know, have a cool piece so everyone looks up to me. Mm-hmm. It was just about... And this is one of the things that ties back into the club. I just loved seeing other people's collections so much.
Yeah.
I love to go to their houses and see them and have them come to my house and see mine.
Right.
But the one thing I really enjoyed was when I saw pieces that I'd never seen before. You know, I didn't really enjoy that much visiting someone's house and seeing, oh, okay, well, I've got all that too, and I've got all these, and I've seen those 18 times. To go and see something, oh, wow, I've never seen this. This is really, really a neat piece, or I've only seen photographs of it. So
doesn't that get you in trouble, though?
What do you mean?
Whereas, like, I know when I go to somebody's house and see the nice, you know, awesome pieces that they've got, then I want to start hunting down my own.
Well, yeah, I guess it does snowball.
It gives you ideas, doesn't it?
Yeah. But so that was one of the reasons I sort of started gravitating to the more, you know, higher end pieces and the unique and rare pieces. I just love to be able to share those with people and have other people share theirs with mine. So with me, so. You know, it went through all the stages and from loose collecting all the way up to you know, these pieces. And,
right.
And I have had a lot of production-type stuff in my collection. And just over the years, you know, just sold it off and tried to maybe focus more narrowly.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the kind of your routine now as a collector? You scoping out eBay? You just primarily working through other collectors, or are you kind of relaxed? Do you have everything you want? Or
I'm definitely relaxed a bit. I mean, I did the great weed out about 4 years ago when I moved to Carolina. I got rid of a whole bunch of things that really narrowed my focus down to what the things I really, really enjoyed. I found that whenever I would go into the room where my collection is displayed, I would always gravitate to looking at these certain pieces, and everything else always got ignored. I'm like, why am I even keeping this?
Uh-huh.
So,
well, that's a garage sale I wish I would have been to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So, yeah. So, today I think, you know, mostly I'm just, there's not a whole lot of pieces I'm really jonesing for today, but, the ones that I am are tied up in private collections, so I just keep pinging those guys. Hey, you interested in selling that piece yet? Interested in selling that piece yet? So, and you know, most of the time the answer is no, but every once in a while you'll get a guy that goes, you know, yeah, maybe I will, and then you know, you got to be ready.
Right, you got to chisel them down.
You
got to
be ready.
Yeah, right.
So,
you got anybody working on you for a piece?
Yeah, I got several people.
I bet here you'll find a few.
There's a few pieces I've got. I have trouble keeping track of who asked first because I want to try and be fair if I ever decide to sell it. But
right.
But yeah, I've got some. Actually, a guy emailed me last week wanted a couple pieces I have. So you get that. Mostly, I answer them with, I'm looking for this in trade. So
yeah.
Find me that, and you can have this piece. I'd be happy to trade it. So I'm doing more trading lately than, than probably anything.
Well, that's cool.
So,
well, man, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out to be with us.
Or starting the club.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, absolutely, and starting the club, no doubt.
Well, it's something, you know, I wrote in a little newsletter we had back. It's for me, it's just to see what this has become. You know, I kind of stepped completely out of it 4 years ago when I moved. And just to have started this little thing with 20 people in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, and then to step aside and watch it flourish all on its own, it's almost like it's this sense of pride in me for not for what I started, but for what everyone here that came after me has done to add to it. Just totally floors me, and I'm just so proud of all the people that put in the hard work to be here and to make this club what I think is probably the best Star Wars club in the nation.
Wow. Well said. That's great. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Well, you know, I asked Chris some questions that we just were full of Chris's. What's going on?
You know,
now
I heard
you know
that,
why his name is C-Dad.
Yeah, right. I heard that started just because of the podcast.
No, actually, that's been a while ago.
Or no, it wasn't the podcast.
It was the Fan Force that I started going by CJ heavily. But even before that, I'd worked with my father for a year. And his name's Lewis, but everybody calls him Chris. So they called me CJ. So I was like,
just call me CJ.
I was like, when I ran into Chris, I was like, this is going to get confusing. Because every time you say Chris, I'm going to look, and it's not going to be me. So just call me CJ from now on.
That's just good planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, all right. So we were talking about, you know, the different types of collectors. So I want to ask, we'll start with Bill. Bill, what type of collector are you?
I'm an omni collector. I collect everything that I like.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not a completist for any
also
particular.
Also known as a smart collector.
Yeah. Or a poor collector, but that's all collectors, right? But
yeah, right.
No, yeah, I don't gravitate towards a particular line.
Uh-huh.
I just pick out my favorite pieces from whatever lines, you know, that I'm interested in and try to concentrate on those. So
okay. Do you is it a character thing for you mainly? Or?
I have a couple of character collections. I have a Darth Maul focus as part of like an offshoot of my collection, and basically, you know, that's it. I mean, not necessarily just one character, but
yeah. What you have a favorite piece?
A favorite piece? Yeah, I do. I have the Darth Maul 1-to-1 scale bust that came out. Was it
Sideshow?
Yeah, Sideshow. Was it like last year? 2 years ago?
2005, maybe?
Yeah. So that's pretty much my favorite piece.
It better be $600.
Right.
Most expensive and my favorite all in one. So.
Cool. CJ, yeah. What kind of collector are you?
Well, as Jimmy Mack pointed out, I'm a broke collector.
This is a guy that's always complaining about no money.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty much the same. I liked to get everything. Uh-huh. You know, I like to have the collection, but paying for it's hell. So.
Yeah.
I've started scaling back a bit because I was trying to do a carded collection, just didn't work out.
What was it about the carded collection? Because I am a carded collector,
right.
So I'm curious what some of your problems that you ran into were.
A lot of it, I didn't start till Rots to try to carded collect.
Really?
So I was like trying
again, Revenge
to get,
of the Sith for
right, Revenge
those
of the
you.
Sith. I started going back, and, uh-huh. and that was like I said, right when I joined Ozwalk. So people were selling things, and I'm like, oh, $2 per figure. Sure, I'll buy a bunch of them. And then they're sitting in cardboard boxes at my parents' house.
Yeah, right, right.
And so part of it is the fact that they're yelling at me because they're like, we don't want this stuff around. You know, we need to get it out
mm-hmm.
of here. The other part's the money issue where I just getting into Sideshow, getting into Gentle Giant. Even when I only get select pieces, I can't keep that going.
Right, right.
You know? Especially, you know, I always complain on the show about like Toys R Us exclusives, like the AT-AT that came out that I really wanted to buy,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
but not for $90.
Right.
Yeah. You know, because that's too much.
Wait a minute, no,
right
no it's
there.
On clearance now for $97.99.
Oh, is that what they did?
Yeah, right. It's not like Target, you know.
Well, it's like Walmart, though. We went to Walmart last night, yeah. and they had the Darth Vader coin albums for, you know, clearance price $9. I was like, wasn't it 10 when it came out?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can really classify that as a clearance, but
so,
okay.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's just that I couldn't keep up the carded collecting, trying to get all the back stuff, especially the mm-hmm. harder to find ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keep collecting what's new. I like to open figures, too, so I wasn't getting all of them open, but I was getting at least one carded, at least one open, and some of them multiples.
Yep.
Then I started customizing figures. So I needed to get,
and that's a whole other
that's a
realm
whole other, yeah.
of collecting. Because obviously, you got to have kind of expendable figures,
right?
And
exactly.
Have you ever been in a situation where there's a custom recipe that you really want to cook up, but to do it, you'd have to sacrifice, say, a figure that's you know, pretty tough to come by? Or
well, CJ usually gets about 6 or 7 of each of those customizable style
uh-huh,
figures.
Okay,
yeah.
So
like clones, yeah. I think I must have picked up the Rots clone about 50 or 60 of them.
Yeah,
just over the course of those couple of years. Yeah, where it was just like I can because they're so versatile.
Yeah,
and now of course they do the Saga Legends, and it's actually clean instead of having all the same battle damage.
Right,
I was like, you couldn't have done this 2 years ago.
It would have really helped you out, right?
You know, I'm like, instead it's like the battle damage is part of the paint job for the trooper. You know,
right, right. So you're a loose collector.
I am more of a loose collector now, uh-huh. and that's what I originally started off, because I stopped when I went to Ohio State.
Right.
There was no room to keep anything. So I kept everything at home.
Yeah, right.
You know, I really didn't get much into it. And then I learned the joy of student loans. And it was like, oh, I'll have loan money by then.
This is like reading my own biography, actually. Both went to Ohio State. Both subsidized our collections with student loans.
You know, right. And it was like, okay, well, I can start to afford this. And that was about Attack of the Clones. I picked up a couple more here and there and started. Right, and then when Rots hit, I was like, I'm going all out.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think, what did we spend? $600-$700
I spent about $900
that night. Midnight Madness night.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it was all student loan stuff. And it just was, like, building and building and building. And it was like, you know what? I can't keep this up. Especially now that I'm graduated and have a job and bills to pay. Yeah. And student loans to pay back.
Right.
So now I'm selling off my collection to pay for the student loans.
Sounded like a Billy Joel song, you know? I got bills to pay and children who need toys.
So, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I mean, now I'm just getting pretty much what I like.
Great. What do you have a favorite piece in your collection?
Oh, God, there's so many. I do like my premium format Boba Fett. It's probably up there with the, you know, I did my Boba Fett Maul Jango Fett collections, and I'd say the premium format Fett along with, like, the animated Gentle Giant Boba Fett maquette, those are probably the two that I've gotten recently that I've just been blown away by.
Right.
But, I mean, I've got so many other favorites, I can't even narrow it down. You know? I mean, if you listen to the show, it's every week I'm getting something else that's my favorite that way.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So,
what do you guys think about the state of the hobby right now, the state of Star Wars collecting? I know it's kind of a deep subject, but and it would be a great conversation. We have a little bit more time. But
right.
Just
for me, I am a big stickler for screen accuracy, and especially in your toys. And so I collect stuff that was actually in the films.
Okay.
And so this past year or year and a half where they've been concentrating a lot on the EU stuff, that's been a great excuse for me to save a lot of money.
Meanwhile,
he's buying, you know, my share and his share.
But at the same time, are you disappointed to see so much EU?
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I am, because I'm not a person that's into the EU as much, in fact, really at all. I would like there to be, especially when I feel like there's a lot of the characters from especially the prequels that have really gone sort of ignored by Hasbro.
Right. Uh-huh.
A lot of the Padme stuff where, you know, you have probably 20 Padmes they could probably do.
Yeah,
I would like to see them do more of that than get into the EU after they do that stuff. But, you know, it seems like they're moving more into the EU now. And it's, you know, it's a good excuse for me to take a back burner and save a few bucks, but... it's just not.
You'd rather be out there spending money.
I would, right? You know, I have to confess, I would. But so, yeah.
All right, I'm going to have. What is the one? We'll put one toy. We'll limit it to toys because that seems to be the.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. The 3¾ collection is the cornerstone of Star Wars collectibles,
stuff right there.
But what's the one item out there that they haven't made that you would love to see?
Oh, geez. I'm gonna. The Jar Jar Gentle Giant mini bust.
That's not a toy, Bill.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, that's okay. That counts.
Will that
that's
count?
Fine.
Will that count?
Okay. The Jar Jar mini bust.
Yeah. He's a Jar Jar fan.
I'm a Jar Jar fan, so.
Oh, man. That's a whole microcast.
So you're the guy?
I'm the one. Yeah, there's one out there.
Oh, that's cool.
It's me, yeah.
You're the guy that, you know, when they have a vote at the, you know, like an Oswalk, everybody goes, if you're with us, say aye. And you say, I just.
Oh, wait a minute. Do we have a winner?
Pete just won.
I'm a winner. Sorry.
Live.
I'm winning live. I'm in the middle of a point.
It was. Oh, it's totally lost on it. Just move on.
Go get your prize.
Go take a prize. Right. They're really cool up there.
Okay. All right. Well, CJ, what about you? What's the one thing out there that they haven't made yet that you want to see?
God, I don't know. Because I'm actually into all the EU stuff. So I'm actually really happy that they're making a lot of things now. I don't. Honestly, maybe a fixed Gentle Giant statue of the Obi-Wan in clone armor, because there was that whole big fiasco where they showed him and he looked just like Ewan McGregor.
Right.
And looks nothing like it in the actual...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was
The prototype looked beautiful.
Right.
I loved it. And so you see the prototype, which is what they use for the catalogs.
Right.
The prototype imagery usually.
And online and everything.
And online. And you got it and you open it up and who's it look like?
It just doesn't look like him.
Uh-huh.
It looks like an Obi-Wan if you want to get technical, like an Obi-Wan from maybe a comic or something like that.
Right.
It's got a likeness, but it's just not.
It's not Ewan McGregor. Right. So I don't know.
Oh, what do you got? The Holiday Edition Yoda.
Hey. Nice. I've been looking at it for a while, and I didn't want to take anything that was really nice. There's,
you know, usually when you go to a thing like this, you know, door prizes are kind of like dorky things. This is unbelievable.
No, this is what they've got up there. This was like one of the prizes that I was like, all right, I don't feel like I'm taking it from somebody else, because some of the other ones are really nice, really big prizes.
This is the low end.
Right. This is a great item. This is something that I've been looking at buying for a long time. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But yeah.
But so you were saying, yeah.
I would love to get that, you know, if they made that. Or, you know, I'd love to hunt down that prototype Slave Leia statue.
Yes.
That, I think Rebel
Scum. The elusive.
Rebel Scum had the pictures of Dustin ogling it last year. You know, that's the good one. But yeah, just, you know, something cool that hasn't been seen yet. You know, I love collecting. I love looking at. I love like the cons, because when they bring out all the new stuff that's coming out, it's just great to sit there and drool and wonder how much it's going to cost your
money. What do you think about the state of the hobby right now?
There's a lot of different factors. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends what you're into. Is what the state of the hobby is. You know.
Yeah, it's true.
The figures are pretty much making their way out, but if you're into the Macquarie figures, you can't find any of those unless you go pay scalper prices on eBay or luck out.
Or buy them by the case.
Right. That's always a good way, but if you don't want the rest of the figures.
You don't want the rest of the figures. It's really tough, and I realize that. But I have to tell you that it's been the biggest savior for me, because I don't sweat it anymore. I mean, the only thing that I have sweated is if you don't get that pre-order in fast enough, you might miss that case lot.
Right.
Particularly with the comic 2-packs.
Right.
I've bought, pre-ordered, every case.
Okay.
I've not received any yet.
Wow.
I mean, granted, there's only been two waves, but I haven't received either one.
Right. Well, we just saw the third wave this week.
Oh, you did?
So the third wave's out now, too.
And I still don't have my case.
Wow.
So that's been really tough.
Right.
Yeah. I'm about ready to talk to somebody over there. Right. You know who you are. Entertainment Earth.
But I was going to ask, is it Entertainment Earth?
It's Entertainment Earth, yeah. But, I mean, everything else, it just works beautifully.
Right.
Their customer service is great.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And, I can sleep at night because I know that I'm getting them.
Right.
Especially with the Macquaries. It's funny because I hear people saying, I can't find the Macquaries, find the Macquaries. And I look over on my shelf and there they all are. You know?
Right.
So I kind of take that for granted. But, it's certainly a reality for someone who just wants those or just wants to pick and choose. I remember what it was like in those days in the trenches.
Yeah, oh, 94, 95.
Oh,
I was glad that I wasn't getting them all then. You know, I didn't do the morning. I was in high school, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it does depend. It depends if you're an online purchaser, like Bill will do that as well for what he wants.
Right.
I like being an OzWatt because it allows you access to other people who are in different areas that can find the stuff too. Mm-hmm. I have a friend in Alaska that was from Ohio that's still a member of the club. Apparently, people don't shop in Alaska. So
really?
He was able to get a couple of Boba Fett Macquaries and a Macquarie Chewy for us and send those down. And he's helped us out a couple years ago with like the Shock Troopers originally. And
we can always call me because you know that look at the case assortments, and if you see some doubles in there,
cool.
And Pete doesn't want them.
And you guys know I come home all the time.
Yeah, right.
I'll just swing by.
Swing by, absolutely. Yeah, that would be great. This has been a lot of fun, you guys. This is great. We need to hook up more often.
Yeah,
sure, definitely.
This is great.
Now what about you guys? How about your favorites in your collections?
Oh, gosh.
We got to turn the tables here.
All right,
Jason,
I'm going to let Pete go first. Pete.
Well, a lot of mine, I don't have any very high value items. You know, I've collected and I've kept an eye on what was going on with the market and stuff like that. But a lot of it is more sentimental value type things. And I have to say that one of the first kind of things that inspired me to kind of display my collection, outside of my vintage stuff, which, you know, I still have all that, although it's been played with and that kind of stuff. But for my birthday back in 90, I guess it would have been 99. Because it was right about when Phantom Menace came out. I got an electronic talking Darth Maul life-size stand-up.
Okay.
And so that was kind of the first thing to make me go, you know, I think it would be fun to set up everything. And so since then, I've, you know, accumulated some more stuff and now have enough to put a room in, which is right. now going to be going out the door. But anyway, it was fun to have.
You can check
for
it out on YouTube,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
But you can always look at your YouTube.
That's right. I can nostalgically with a single tear rolling right. down my cheek. One look tear, at that. Yeah. But that was like kind of the inspiration behind being able to go, okay, now it's kind of cool to go ahead and display my collection. So. You know, and there's a lot of great exclusive things that I've gotten over the years and gifts and stuff like that. So, but that's probably the one just because it has that, you know, extra push of what my collection was.
Okay.
Jay?
I think it's really hard for me to narrow it down to one particular item. Like, you know, like Pete said, and I think it's tough for everybody. But there was that time in the... second power of the, you know, the new Power of the Force line, when you started to see Tarkin, you started to see Ceremonial Luke, you started to see Slave Leia, and Removable Helmet Vader. For some reason, those are like four moments in collecting for me. Well, they were all four very difficult figures for me to get at the time.
Okay.
I remember I met some guy in the parking lot of this closed restaurant because I was trading for the Removable Helmet Vader, and I had never even seen it. Okay. I mean, this is at a time when I was getting up every morning and hitting all the stores every morning throughout that summer.
Right.
But then for the Tarkin, I remember walking into Toys R Us, and they must have just restocked. And
that's always a good feeling,
isn't it?
It
a great feeling. And this is back in the day when, I mean, when the web was such that it was just like a black screen, and you got this like really kind of fuzzy JPEG of what the figure was going to look like. And I think it was probably Philip Wise's old site, you right. know, that I saw it, or old version of Sir Steve's Guide.
Right.
And I think it was those figures for me that showed me that they were really serious about this because they were rolling out figures that they had never done before. They weren't just taking a new spin on old stuff. So that era of Power of the Force means a lot to me. Those are the ones I wouldn't. Would trade for anything in the world.
Cool.
Once again, so, we're going to go outside.
But they're going to... Group photo. Everyone's going outside. We're going to probably wrap it up, I think.
I do have something that we wanted to mention.
Yeah,
let
please
me
do.
Find Scott here.
I just saw him.
I'll be right back.
Because everyone's... Okay. See, we're losing CJ, but
yeah.
Apparently he wants to do something here where they're all going out. Wait a minute. Looks like everyone's getting together for a group photo, so it's... Probably a good time to wrap it up. But
basically, it's his autism walk that they're doing.
Oh, okay.
And he wants to just plug that real quick. And I figure that's such a good cause that we should connect to that real quick.
Absolutely. I tell you what we'll do. They got to do an autism raffle.
Yeah.
Do you know when the walk is?
I know it's September 30th.
Okay.
I know they're leaving, I believe, from Cleveland Indians Stadium.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure exactly what time or anything.
I think what we'll do is we'll wrap up the show. We'll have him come over here and we'll have him record a promo.
Okay.
Send it over to Jimmy Mack and we'll run it on our show. And if you guys run it on your show for the next few weeks.
Definitely.
We can do that for him.
Definitely.
All right. So this has been a lot of fun, guys.
Absolutely. We really have to get together.
Yeah.
Do some more of this.
We sure do.
Let us know if you're in Columbus any day. You know,
we might have to find an excuse.
We
can go down to the zoo.
There you go. Live in front of the penguins.
That's right.
No, this has been great. Well, this has been great. The 10th anniversary of the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club, of which you and I are now proud members, or I will be shortly.
Yes.
I'll be legitimate. I was Pete's guest.
I appreciate that you said guest and not paid.
But no, this was great. I mean, what an impressive group of people. And Dustin called it a mini convention, and I think that's the best way to put it. I want to thank CJ and Bill from Imperial Holonet Radio.
Thank you guys.
You guys want to give a shout out to your listeners? Anything you want them to see?
Wow. that's our line. Keep listening. Keep listening to Forcecast because you guys are great. I listen every week as possible. But yeah, it's been great working with you guys.
Great.
Happy anniversary.
And to you as well.
Thank you. That's right.
And tune in for the live 1 year anniversary show of Imperial Holonet Radio coming up this Sunday.
Next Saturday.
Yeah. See how well I pay attention. It's nice to have somebody like me around.
And they can go to the website at www.ihnradio.com. I believe he just added another one. It's starwarspodcast.net as well.
Yeah, I saw that today, as a matter of fact. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, check us out. The forums are there. And all the contact information Chris has in his memory. So.
All right. Yeah. All right. And if you want to be part of the Forcecast, you can join us live this Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll take your calls, your comments, your questions, your complaints. And after last week's show, I think we'll have a lot of those. Anyway, well, we appreciate very much for the Forcecast and Imperial HoloNet Radio.
This is CJ.
This is Bill.
I'm Pete.
And I'm Jason. And remember,
Force will be with you.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.